All right, church. A lot of times I'm not here in this service, so you guys miss a lot of my shenanigans. And so I'm sorry for that. But every once in a while, the pastors have to call in the big guns to preach. That was a joke. You're allowed to laugh. It's okay. But actually, I had written in here, because in the first service, I didn't do the announcements. I was going to say it felt really good to not have to worry about the announcements. But I did them anyways, because, you know, here we are, and neither of the other pastors are here joining us. Otherwise, I would have made them do it. But anyways, guys, I'm super pumped to have another opportunity to preach to you guys. But before we get into any of this stuff, let's pray, because it's not about me. So let's bow for a quick moment of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me just another opportunity to preach your word. God, I pray that it would be your words, not mine, and that I could be a vessel for your truth. And what you would want me to share. Amen. All right, so today our scripture verse, I want to give you guys a fair warning. We will be bouncing around a little bit, but this is the verse that I wanted to choose as the overarching verse. And it is John 14, verse 6. And it says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, church, I'm not going to lie. It's a little hard sometimes to pick a topic as to what you're going to be preaching about. I mess with Pastor John and Pastor Chris a lot, and I mean, like, a lot I mess with them. But I have to give them credit here, because being able to pick a topic every single week and preach about it is impressive. It's not an easy thing to do. I'll be honest, guys, I was given ample time to decide a topic, and I just couldn't until this last week. Okay, maybe I just decided to not figure it out until this last week. So maybe it's also on me. But sometimes having a little bit of direction, having a topic given to you, makes everything easier. When I was in school for papers, and those of you who have, you know, went to college and schools and you had to write papers, you were almost always given a topic. And that just made writing the paper a little easier, because you knew exactly where you needed to go. For this, I wasn't given anything specific. So naturally, I was thinking about all the different things I could preach about. And I remembered a conversation that I had with one of my housemates back in college. He was telling me about his favorite sermon that he had ever heard. Now, I want to clarify, I don't really remember much from that conversation other than what the topic of the sermon was. But naturally, I will give credit to his pastor. I am kind of stealing this a little bit, just the topic at least. But I'll share in a second what this topic is. But moving on a little bit, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, maybe three, I was getting lunch with someone named Sean Falk, who is a member of this church. He has recently graduated. We were just catching up and talking about life. And he said something that reminded me of that conversation with my housemate. Sean said, well, you know, it's kind of crazy, but history always seems to repeat itself. And I agreed, and I'm also kind of convinced that even with the knowledge we have of history that we do right now, if we were to go back in time, it probably wouldn't be the exact same things happening over and over again, but to some degree, I'm sure that just about everything that has happened in our history would probably happen again. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I just think it would. But going back to this conversation I had with my housemate, he said to me, he said, hey, if Jesus came back today, do you think we would crucify him again? And now, naturally, I said no, like right off the bat. I was like, no, there's no way. We have the Bible. You know, we can read about everything that has already happened. We know exactly what went wrong. There is no way that we would crucify Jesus again. But the more that I genuinely thought about it, the more time I spent even writing this sermon thinking about it, I kind of got less and less sure of my answer. And so let's get into that a little bit. We'll talk about some hypotheticals, if you would. So obviously, times right now are a little different than back in biblical times. You know, back in those times, stories would often get passed around through word of mouth. And while that still happens to some degree today, we have, you know, the news, we have media, we have all of these things to share stories, to pass around stories. That's how a lot of information gets traveled around, whether it is true or false. So just imagine on the news or on some social media platform, you hear of a man who is not white, who claims to be the literal Son of God. How do you respond? Now, I don't know about you guys, but personally, I would say, well, there's no way that's true. Like, there's just no way. I would need to see more than just, you know, hearing about this man who claims to be the Son of God. He can't be. And just like that, just like I did, that comment right there, that, you know, story, the beginning of this story of Jesus possibly being here, of a man claiming to be Jesus, people would instantly write him off. Now, you know, I would assume that's probably similar to the Bible. We don't know for sure because the Bible actually doesn't tell us about the people who heard these stories of Jesus, who was told about him, but, you know, whether they believed or didn't believe, whether they were just set in their faith, like whatever it was, some people heard these stories and just decided, I'm not going to go see him. I don't believe it. I mean, and we can look back and read through this and think about how those people, there were probably people who, you know, like I said, heard these stories and just decided right there not to go see him. But we can see now that in that time that that actually was Jesus. And the crazy thing is, would you say, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you say that that would probably happen again? That we would hear these stories and we would just write them off and say, nope, there's no way that's Jesus. But we wouldn't crucify him again, right? Now, you know, say these stories on the news or the media that you've heard aren't necessarily telling us exactly what happened, right? You already know media skews a lot of things, but even back in the day, passing stories through word of mouth, it's like a big game of telephone. The story never comes out the exact same. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's also not a good thing. You know, maybe some of us would get curious enough, you know, we hear enough of these stories that we sit there and we say, well, maybe I'll go see for myself. I want to go see if this is actually Jesus, so maybe I should go find out for myself. And you know, you get there and you see a crowd following this man who claims to be Jesus. Now, of course, times are different, so odds are if this were happening right now, it would probably be a bunch of news teams following him. But at the same time, it would be just people, crowds of people following him. And, you know, you try and listen to him teach, and the way that he teaches it is in a really weird way. He talks in these stories that we don't really understand, and they don't seem to really make sense. There's no direct approach or direct answer to what his stories are. Now, say, you know, you hear these stories and you just decide, well, there's no way that Jesus would teach us like this. Or perhaps, you know a lot of the parables, well enough, where you're sitting there thinking and you hear him teach a parable that is not in the Bible, that is not biblical. So right there you say, well, there's no way. This can't actually be Jesus. Because why would Jesus teach us something new? Why wouldn't he just teach us what we already know in the Bible? And right there, more people turn away. Not everybody. Of course, some people want to understand and learn more. But right there, some people turn away. But there's no way we would crucify him again, right? Now, here's the other thing about people following him, right? You know, we are Christians. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves Christ followers, which means we follow Christ. if we do not fully believe that this man is Christ, we would have no reason to follow him. Or at least that's what we would tell ourselves. That's how we would justify not following this man who is claiming to be Jesus. But let's say, you know, we're so convinced that this man is not Jesus that we decide to go to him and challenge him to prove himself. And now this has happened to Jesus multiple times. In the Bible even, where when Jesus was in the desert, the devil came directly to him and tried to test him. He quoted scripture. He was giving him these different challenges, and Jesus answered him by saying, you know, it is also written that you will not put the Lord, your God, to the test. Okay? And maybe say he doesn't respond to you in the exact way that he responded to the devil. But even, you know, back in the day, there were other people who would go and try and test Jesus. And these are the people who knew the law. These are the people who knew the scripture. And if Jesus were here today, would it not be the people who knew the Bible, who knew the scripture, also known as more than likely the people of the church, wouldn't we be the ones to challenge him? And we can look back and say, well, yeah, that's ridiculous that they're challenging them. But think about it, church, we are the most likely people to challenge Jesus if he were here today. We are. You know, and maybe things would be different. Maybe we wouldn't, but I can almost guarantee that some people would. And to be completely honest and transparent with you guys, I would probably be one of those people. I would want to know if this is true, if this is actually him. And I wouldn't even think to, you know, just believe that it's him. I would think, well, no, I need proof. I need to go challenge him. But it's kind of crazy to think about, you know, it's not the people that don't have faith that would be bothered by Jesus being here. It's weird because it's the people of the church, the people who have faith, would be the most outraged by a man who claims to be Jesus, which is kind of crazy. But no matter what, you know, we can look back and we would not crucify him again, right? But you know, to move on a little bit. Say you don't necessarily believe. You're not sure just yet, but you want to follow him because maybe with time following him, Jesus would prove himself to you. Because, you know, say you hear stories and you've read on the news of this man who, like I said, claims to be Jesus, just picked up some dirt, spit in the dirt, and now a blind man can see. You hear stories of this man who healed broken bones or made the lame to walk again. But you still don't know. So, you know, you go up to him once again and you ask him in a sense of a challenging kind of way, but also a curious way of, you say, Jesus, and then you can add in some sly comment of if that is really who you are, if you want. But you say, Jesus, how do I get eternal life? How do I go to heaven? And now he responds with an answer that you would probably expect, and he just says, keep the commandments. And this is where you think, oh, here we go, I got him. Because he's not going to know what to say next. And you say, well, which ones should I keep? How can I keep them better? I have followed all of your commandments, so tell me, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus just responds with, sell your things, give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And that's all he says. Imagine that is said to you by Jesus. I mean, it'd probably take me a little off guard. That's not necessarily what I was expecting. But no matter what happened, no matter what he says, no matter what is going on, if Jesus was back, there is no way that we would crucify him again. There's just no way. And church, you see that all of this stuff that I have brought up, all of this stuff that we, you know, where our hypothetical situations is all biblical. Everything that I have brought up has already happened. And we could sit here and think about how it would probably happen again. Now, of course, there's some differences because obviously there's no news teams back in biblical times and there's no social media back in biblical times. Naturally, there will be differences as time changes, but people came to see Jesus. Yes, to follow him, but also just to come and see if it were true. You know, we talked about Jesus teaching and not being able to understand, and that caused people to leave, and that happened in John chapter 6. Jesus is telling so many people that he referred to as his disciples, not the 12 apostles, they didn't turn away, but the other people who did were known as disciples, and Jesus told them that he was the bread of life. If you guys know that story, if you don't, look it up. It's in John chapter 6. It is complicated. And I can only imagine hearing that in person, how weird of like a lesson that would be to be taught. And so many people, because of how difficult and confusing that lesson was, turned away from their faith right then and there. So, church, be real with me. If you heard a man talking in the way that Jesus did and say, you know, it wasn't a parable that you had heard before, but it was complicated and it was confusing and you didn't know the answer and you didn't understand, would you leave? I don't know. I don't know if I would. And we also talked of, you know, testing this man to prove if he were actually Jesus. As I said, Jesus was in the desert, and the devil did tempt him, and that is when Jesus said, you know, it is also written, you will not put the Lord your God to the test. But there were multiple times, and I mean multiple times, where the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus to test him. Just like how I said, you know, it's the people who know the scripture, who know the law, would be the one to challenge him. And they did. And just one of the examples is in Matthew chapter 16, where it says, quite literally, and I think this is verse number one, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. It's pretty straightforward that they were testing him. But once again, be real. If there was a man who claimed to be Jesus, who was right in front of you, would you also not be like, hey, can you just throw me a sign? Like, could you just prove this for me real quick? I know I would. And, you know, I would sit there and I would try and justify it to you guys all I wanted. I would try and justify it to Jesus if I challenged him. But I said, no. Like, I believe, I know who you are, but I just want to be sure. And I could try and try and try, but there is no justification for the fact that I would challenge him. I would ask him to prove it. And the last thing, you know, we kind of brought up was all the different miracles and things that Jesus did and said, right? You know, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. That happened. John chapter 5, a lame man walks again. That happened. For goodness sake, Jesus even brought Lazarus back from the dead in John chapter 11. That happened. And let me tell you, let me clarify here, I do not doubt the power of God. I never once have. I won't. I know that some crazy, hard to believe, difficult to understand things can happen through the power of God. I know that. But think about this. If somebody tomorrow, say you wake up from a phone call from, you know, a friend, and this friend tells you that, hey, on the other side of the world, there's a man who claims to be Jesus, and now there was a blind man who can now see. Would you not sit there and be like, okay, yeah, that's a lie. Like, there's some funny business going on here. Would you believe it, or would you kind of push it off? I would probably push it off, to be honest with you. Maybe not fully, but I would say, okay, well, let me do some research on this. I need to see if this is actually true. I don't necessarily, you know, I want to believe it, but that's just hard. That's really difficult. So, church, this is where the question kind of shifts a little bit. Well, this is where I want the question to shift. Instead of looking at it from now on as, well, if Jesus were here today, would we crucify him again? I want to look at this question as, do you know Jesus well enough to recognize him if he were back today? Do you know him well enough? Because we are in a much different position than biblical times. Obviously, we have the Bible, the whole Bible, not just the Old Testament. But we know what happened in Jesus' life. But along with that, we know that with Jesus' death and resurrection comes more than just a story of it happening. It brings new life and a relationship. You know, say you read about a person, you study their autobiography for your whole life, and you finally got to meet them, would you actually recognize them? I mean, I'm sure you guys have all heard the phrase, you know, maybe don't meet your heroes. People would say that because they would, you know, read about a person, maybe see the way that they act in movies or TV shows, whatever, whoever your hero is, but you would be so convinced that you knew this person that when you met them and when you heard them talk, you wouldn't believe it was them. Because there's no way. That's not the person that I know you to be. So, once again, I ask, you know, would you recognize Jesus? You know, we can sit here and try and imagine a conversation with him, with Jesus, that is. More often than not, those conversations is kind of just Jesus telling us that we did a good job. I know some of my friends have told me this, and I have thought about this as well. Can you guys imagine when you get to heaven and all you hear is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And it brings you joy, and you are happy. And you imagine hearing that, and it might bring a tear to your eye. But none of us have really imagined the hard and awkward conversations that Jesus had, that Jesus had already had, and that if he were here right now, he would probably have again. Where I brought up, you know, the us going up to Jesus saying, "Well, how do I get eternal life?" That was another story in the Bible. That was biblical. Where he came up to Jesus and he just said, "Well, how do I get to heaven?" And he was expecting an easy answer because he thought he did everything right. He followed the commandments. He listened to what they said. He thought he did everything right. And when Jesus responded with, "Sell your things, give to the poor, and come and follow me," how do you think he responded? Excuse me. Like I said, we don't like to think about these painfully awkward or just incredibly painful conversations in general because we never realize what they actually mean. We can read about these conversations in the Bible and say to ourselves, "I get it. That's a metaphor. I shouldn't be too attached to my things." Well, yes, but at the same time, could you imagine Jesus actually saying that to you? These things that we read about, these conversations, they're more than just a metaphor. These conversations happened. They were real. And if Jesus said that to us, would we write him off and say, "Well, okay, you're not Jesus. Jesus wouldn't say that to me. That's just a metaphor in the Bible." Like, no, that happened. How would you respond? I would probably feel really weird if I had a man who claimed to be Jesus tell me to sell all my things. Not because I'm super attached to everything that I own, but just because that is not something that I would be expecting to hear. That would be kind of weird in my opinion. But, like I said, if Jesus were back today, you would see people in their, you would see some people in their faith come alive. You'd see these people thriving with what he says. And that they would know it wouldn't be easy, and you guys know it wouldn't be easy, but they would be living fully in him and trusting fully in him. But you will also see a bunch of other people turn away from him and turn away from their faith because of what he says, how he acts, and what he asks of you. So, church, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know Jesus well enough that you would be able to recognize him if he stood in front of you today? Or do you think, as a community, we would end up crucifying him again if he were back? Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for allowing us to know you. God, I pray as time goes on, Lord, we would know that it is more than just knowing the scripture. God, it is more than just knowing the laws that you give. God, knowing you is also a relationship. A relationship. God, I pray that we get to know who you are better. I pray that we can understand who you are better. God, just thank you. Thank you for what you do. In your name we pray. Amen.